Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue with my teaching titled, The Book of Romans, Our Guidebook for Christian Living, which I began on March 17th. This teaching is a verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament book and will provide the listener important details that will give all of us insight on how to live in victory by applying the biblical principles that Apostle Paul shares with us. When I speak of the book of Romans as a guidebook, I am referring to a manual of information that will give the Christian the ability to live life skillfully in Jesus. It is a guide to a godly lifestyle that may be unknown or unfamiliar to some of you. Therefore, Apostle Paul wrote this book with the intention to lead us to the knowledge of God's New Testament promises, give us understanding on how to operate successfully through applying God's word, his promises to our life, and as a result, live according to God's wisdom as more than conquerors. It is no secret that the more we know and come to understand God's holy word, the easier it will be for each of us to apply the promises of God to our life by faith. It is through developing and becoming strong in faith that we not only please our Heavenly Father, but also come to experience the more than abundant life in Jesus. The kind of life that gives us the victory over all the challenges of life. If you are tired of being a victim of Satan and his demonic assignments, you need to be a part of this weekly study. For this teaching, I have selected two key verses from the book of Romans for our foundational scripture. Please go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I will be reading verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment. To everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Gentile. Verse 17, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. As it is written and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by his faith. If you were not with us from the beginning of this teaching or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, I invite you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We finished examining chapter 12, verse 7, when I ran out of time. Please go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 8. Romans chapter 12, as a reminder, the major topic is dedicated service. That means Christians have an obligation for dedicated service to God's people. All right, let's read verse 8 from the Bible. It says, "Or he who encourages in the act of encouragement, he who gives with generosity, he who leads with diligence, he who sows mercy in caring for others with cheerfulness." Here's my comment regarding verse number 8. Paul names four gifts. The first gift is the gift of encouragement, also known as exhortation, which consoles and comforts. A supporting scripture for this gift is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. The second gift mentioned is the gift of giving with generosity, giving to your church home, other ministries, to those you know are in need can be included under this gift. A supporting scripture for this gift is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. The third gift mentioned is the gift of leadership. I once heard a great pastor say that if you cannot serve others, you will never be a great leader to God's people. A leader must stand before God's people and show them by example how to live like Christ. A leader in a church must support the vision of the pastor, not their personal agenda. For supporting scripture, you may go to Philippians chapter 2 and read verses 1 through 4. The last gift mentioned is the gift of mercy. We must care for others cheerfully. Here's a supporting scripture for this statement. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. When caring for others, be led by the Holy Spirit and not your emotions, because you do not want to be taken advantage of or deceived by Satan, who will try to occupy your time with busy work that God has not called you to do. So, follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. All right, let's continue with verse number 9. The Bible says, "Love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good." Here's my comment regarding verse number 9. First, I do want to read the footnote that is found in my Bible for verse number 9, and they are highlighting the word love. Here is their comment. There are three words used for love in the New Testament: self-sacrificial love, brotherly love, and kindly affection. The last of which is used in this verse. The greatest proof of the truth of the gospel message and of the reality of Jesus' love is the love believers show to each other. Here's my comment regarding verse number 9. God's love is unconditional and never ending. When we take the time to learn and emulate God's love, we will never be hateful, jealous, or critical of others. I know for a fact that some people are hard to love, but we can love everyone unto our Lord. Then we will never be trapped by Satan's plan to steal, kill, and destroy us. Hate what is evil. We must hate the evil deed, not the person doing evil. All right, let's continue with verse number 10. The Bible says, "Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection. As members of one family, give preference to one another in honor." Here's my comment regarding verse number 10. To be devoted to one another means to be loyal and enthusiastic about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us encourage and inspire one another to grow in Jesus and live out mature Christian lives that brings prosperity, spirit, soul, and body.
There is too much backbiting in the body of Christ.
This is one reason why the world, unbelievers, do not take Christianity seriously. We are the light of this dying world and should be earthly examples of Jesus Christ. All right, let's continue with the Bible and read verse number 11. It says, "Never nagging behind in diligence, aglow in the Spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord." Here's my comment regarding verse number 11. Diligence means careful and persistent work or effort. Are we careful and persistently working to grow from faith to faith? Aglow means glowing or expressing great praise. When we follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, He will give us the insight how to be encouraging and effective ways to minister to others. Enthusiastically means to show intense and eager enjoyment, interest, or approval. Be positive and only speak God's word over the situations of life. People need to hear the truth, that truth that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the living word of God. Amen. All right, let's continue with verse number 12. The Bible says, "Constantly rejoicing in hope because of your confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength." Here's my comment regarding verse number 12. Constantly rejoicing, confident in Christ. A mature Christian continually studies God's word, understands God's commandments, and more importantly, applies the word to their life. This is the Christian that can constantly rejoice in Christ and be confident in His word. This Christian has an intimate relationship with Jesus, and they are one. Pastor McIntosh often says it like this: the way God says it, we must say it. The way God does it, we must do it. And when we do, the results God gets is the same results we get. Let's be diligent, family, to do the work of the Lord the way God would have us do it, with love and compassion. All right, let's go on to verse number 13. The Bible says, "Contributing to the needs of God's people, pursuing the practice of hospitality." Here's my comment regarding verse 13. Contributing means give something, especially money, in order to help achieve or promote something. God's plan and purpose for His people is for us to live in abundance all the days of our lives. And His prosperity is obtained by giving for kingdom purposes. The more you give, the more is given back to you in multiplication. You cannot outgive God. Hospitality means the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. Before entertaining others, pray and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you as to who, what, and where. Let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 14. Verse 14 says, "Bless those who persecute you, who cause you harm or hardship. Bless and do not curse them." Here's my comment regarding verse 14. Bless means to ask God to look favorably on. We should be in a constant prayer for the church, its leaders, and believers. Unfortunately, there is strife in the church from time to time. However, speak no harm against those people who are causing the strife by gossiping to others. Any harmful words we speak will only cause us pain. Remember, death and life is in the power of our tongue. Instead, Take the matter to the Lord in prayer and leave it to Him to correct the problem. Don't dwell on negative issues. You stay focused on the Word and be in peace, knowing that God is a just God and you got the victory in Jesus, no exception. Amen. All right, let's read verse 15 from the Bible. It says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief." Here's my comment regarding verse 15. Rejoice in other people's victories and blessings. Don't hate. Celebrate because your time is coming soon. Have compassion for those who are hurting and be an encourager of those in need. Remind them of what the Word of God says about their current situation and pray them through this challenge in their life. All right, let's go to verse number 16. The Bible says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, conceited, self-important, exclusive, but associate with humble people, those with a realistic self-view. Do not overestimate yourself." Here's my comment regarding verse 16. Love in harmony means loving in agreement, one accord, or with unity. Our godly love is a result of loving Jesus and what He did on our behalf even while we were still sinners. We are somebody in Jesus, but even Jesus said that He came to serve and not to be served. Therefore, when we operate like Jesus, we will never overestimate ourselves. Rather, we will be thankful for the forgiveness and mercy that God showed us in spite of our sins, and serve others as Jesus showed us how to do in His Word. All right, let's go to the Bible and read verse 17. "Never repay anyone evil for evil. Take thought for what is right and gracious and proper in the sight of everyone." Here's my comment regarding verse 17. Christians should never repay evil for evil. To do so is to play into the hands of Satan and his destructive intentions. Satan is looking for an opportunity to come against the Christian, and we give it to him when we operate in sin. All right, let's read verse number 18 from the Bible. It says, "If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Here's my comment regarding verse 18. Living in peace with everyone does require our purposeful intention. There are individuals in the body of Christ that are always trying to stir up trouble. More than likely, these Christians are baby Christians, or what my pastor in California called carnal Christians. They got saved, but they don't want to let go of their sinful desires. There is no good thing in the flesh, so don't allow it to dictate to you how to operate in life. The flesh will kill you, graveyard dead. Let's go on to verse number 19. The Bible says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath and His judicial righteousness. For it is written in Scripture, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" Here's my comment regarding verse 19. This verse, found in Deuteronomy 32:35, should give Christians consolation, knowing that God sees, He repays, and His righteous vengeance is coming and final. Let's continue with verse number 20. Verse number 20 in the Bible says, "But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." Here's my comment regarding verse 20. There is much truth in the old adage, "Love the hell out of them." because godly love never fails. It can bring shame and repentance to the evildoers. The supporting scripture for this comment can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. All right, let's read the last verse of chapter 12, which is verse 21 from the Bible. It says, "Do not be overcome and conquered by evil, but overcome evil with good." Here's my comment regarding verse 21. Overcome evil with good. Dr. King Jr. said it like this: "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." When we choose to love like God and show the world the real Jesus, then we will bring the multitudes to Christ. Amen. All right, family, that concludes chapter 12 of the book of Romans. Let's continue with Romans chapter 13. The major topic for chapter 13 is be subject or obedient to government. Be subject or obedient to government. Let's start by reading verse number 1. Verse number 1 says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, granted by his permission and sanctioned, that those which exist have been put in place by God." Here's my comment regarding verse number 1. Family, I want to explain the statement Paul made regarding authorities. There is no authority except from God. I want everyone to keep in mind that when God speaks about a topic, he is always speaking of it in its highest form, his perfect plan for man. For example, marriage in its highest form is one man married to one woman for life, submitted to God's word. This is God's best for mankind. God's plan and purpose for government bodies was for those in authority to do right for the people submitted under that government. God wants all authorities to operate justly so that his people can live in peace and prosperity. However, we know that this corrupt world system is run by Satan, and his only intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. As a result, Satan has placed his followers in high places to disrupt and cause discord among mankind. God did not sanction slavery in America, apartheid in South Africa, or the Nazi regime in Germany. But if Christians allow such evil in the world, or worse, endorse such corruptions, God must allow it because he has given us the authority to change evil into good. Therefore, it is up to those of us who know God's word to pray in faith for our leaders, whoever they may be, whereupon they will make godly decisions for our good, even though they don't understand why. Here's a supporting scripture for my comment, Proverbs 16:7. All right, let's continue with verse number 2. The Bible says, "Therefore, whoever resists governmental authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who have resisted it will bring judgment, evil penalty on themselves." Here's my comment regarding verse number 2. Breaking a just law is like breaking a God-given commandment. When you examine the laws of our government, you can trace them, or many of them, back to a biblical foundation. For example, our criminal law forbids murder, rape, and robbery. You can find that in Exodus chapter 20, verses 13 through 17. These laws are instituted for our protection and should be applied equally for all people. These laws line up with God's word. Let's go on and read verse 3 from the Bible.
Verse 3 says, "For civil authorities are not a source of fear for people of good behavior, but for those who do evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will receive approval and commendation." All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 3. Law-abiding citizens do not need to fear just laws written for our protection, because the law is for the lawless, those who follow their evil intentions to steal, kill, and destroy. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 4. "For he is God's servant to you for good. But if you do wrong, you should be afraid, for he does not carry the executioner's sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an avenger who brings punishment on the wrongdoer." Here's my comment regarding verse number 4. "I'm not afraid of the law that comes against those that murder, because I never plan to murder anyone. But those who have murder in their hearts should fear, because the law has a severe penalty for those who take another person's life." All right, let's go on to verse number 5 in the Bible. It says, "Therefore, one must be subject to civil authorities, not only to escape the punishment that comes with wrongdoing, but also as a matter of principle, knowing what is right before God." Oh, I'm so sorry, family. I am out of time. Please come back next week as we continue with the Book of Romans, our guidebook for Christian living.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.